Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening. As always, head over to reallifepharmacology.com. Go snag your free PDF. It's a little study guide on the top 200 drugs. 31 pages, a lot of good content based upon what I've seen in real life, as well as some of the things that often come up on board exams or if you're taking pharmacology classes. You're going to find a lot of nuggets and things that are going to be tested on as you go throughout your career there. So, again, head to reallifepharmacology.com, sign up to get the free top 200 study guide. All right, so the drug of the day today is fluvoxamine, and the brand name of this medication is Luvox. This is classified as an SSRI. So again, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And the mechanism of action with this medication is it blocks serotonin reuptake back into neurons in the central nervous system. And ultimately, this leads to an increase in serotonin activity. Now, as an SSRI, obviously it can be used for depression, PTSD, GAD or anxiety disorders. Most often in clinical practice, from my perspective, what I've seen is you're going to see this used for obsessive compulsive disorder. That's probably the most common situation you're going to see it used. And as we talk about drug interactions and things like that, you'll see why it's generally not used first line compared to some of the other SSRIs, which probably have less drug interactions and less issues to kind of deal with. The usual dosing range for fluvoxamine is 50 milligrams to 300 milligrams. And the immediate release formulation anyway is potentially once a day at lower doses. And as we get to higher doses, manufacturers typically going to recommend to split that up into twice a day. So usually, you know, 100, 150 or higher, we're going to go to that second dose or dose it twice a day. Adverse effect profile is going to be pretty similar to other SSRI agents, sexual dysfunction, potential for, you know, sleep changes, things like that, CNS effects, you know, dizziness, you know, some of that stuff can sometimes happen with some of these agents, GI upset, probably trending more so towards diarrhea versus constipation, and SIADH risk, so hyponatremia. Is something we got to keep tabs on for as well. Box warning exists with fluvoxamine, suicidality risk with that boxed warning, just like all the other SSRIs. Discontinuation syndrome, something you've got to think about and remember with fluvoxamine and SSRIs in general, I guess. You definitely want to taper this med. If patients have been on it for a little while, you know, weeks, months, you're definitely going to want to taper that medication down and off over a period of weeks. If they've been on it for years and years and years, you know, you might be talking months that you want to taper that medication down and off there. So really, really important to remember that. I've seen that come up in practice where patients either quit taking it on their own or it gets, you know, tapered and discontinued too abruptly for patients that have been on it a long time. And, you know, just a reminder, the discontinuation syndrome, you can have effects like nausea, anxiety, insomnia, kind of flu-like symptoms. And so that's a really, really important thing to remember there, of course. Onset of action with the kinetics is something that we've got to teach patients about. You know, you're not going to have instant impact on depression or OCD or whatever you're using fluvoxamine to treat. It's going to take a period of weeks usually for patients to really start, even to start to feel better with the condition we're trying to manage there. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, ambulatory care, BCGP, MTM, NAPLEX, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. We've got an awesome list of resources there. I've just heard back from numerous candidates in the last testing session that have been very thankful and for the help in preparing them to pass their exam. So I think we do a really good job of that in comparison to other products and other organizations. We really focus on those exams and the content outlines in the content we put together. So definitely go check that out, meded101.com/store. In addition, if you're not a pharmacist, if you're a nurse, nurse practitioner, med student, dietitian, anyone who maybe needs a little bit of pharmacology help, we've got various books on case studies, on drug interactions, recent guide on drug-food interactions for our dietitian friends and things like that. So again, whole list of resources, all those are at meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions, and I kind of breezed through the earlier sections a little bit more quickly because drug interactions with fluvoxamine are so critical. I've had numerous situations where fluvoxamine has caused various toxicities and or issues. So let's think about many of the CYP enzymes. So CYP1A2, fluvoxamine actually inhibits CYP1A2. So a drug like clozapine, definitely a drug that's very sensitive potentially to concentration changes. Those concentrations can go up due to adding fluvoxamine on board. The effects of caffeine, another one, through CYP1A2. If we inhibit CYP1A2, caffeine effects can go up. Olanzapine, another antipsychotic affected by CYP1A2. So again, numerous drug interactions there potentially. In addition, patients who smoke can actually have lower levels of fluvoxamine. Remember, smoking induces CYP1A2. Fluvoxamine is partly, at least partly, broken down by CYP1A2. And so fluvoxamine concentrations can go down as patients or smokers can have lower levels of fluvoxamine. If somebody stops smoking, those fluvoxamine levels can go up. So definitely can be a very complicated type of situation there. Fluvoxamine also inhibits CYP2C19. So if you remember a few drugs here, phenytoin, at least in parts, broken down by CYP2C19. I have absolutely seen a case of phenytoin toxicity because fluvoxamine was added to a patient's medication regimen. Other medications increase concentrations of omeprazole and also potentially reduced effectiveness of a drug like clopidogrel. Remember, that one is a prodrug and is impacted by CYP2C19 activity. CYP2C9. So fluvoxamine is technically classified as a weak inhibitor of CYP2C9. And if you remember, warfarin is broken down significantly by the enzyme 2C9. So we can end up with elevations in INR and increased warfarin concentrations if fluvoxamine is added. Another enzyme that fluvoxamine impacts is CYP3A4. Numerous drugs are obviously broken down, at least in part, by CYP3A4. Numerous opioids may have increased concentrations there. Carbamazepine is kind of a good example of a bipolar agent, potentially anti-epileptic agent that can really be thrown off, and also has a narrow therapeutic index where it's tough to hit that sweet spot with concentration. Well, if you come along, add on fluvoxamine, concentrations of carbamazepine could go up. In addition to 3A4, 2D6 can also be affected as well there. So numerous opioids can be affected by 2D6. We've got numerous antidepressants. You know, odds are likely you're not going to use fluvoxamine with another SSRI, for example. There are numerous potential interactions with CYP2D6. Bupropion's an example there as well. So again, the reason why fluvoxamine in that class of SSRI agents isn't used is because it has so many drug interactions. And if you ever see it used, it's one that I honestly look up if I see it's going to be started or if I see a patient is on it. And I look for those drug interactions that may be an issue. I also educate patients, if they're on fluvoxamine, that there is a lot of drug interactions with this medication. So as they go on through their life and they start new medications, they change medications, it's critical to educate them and remind them, hey, you're likely going to have drug interactions with this medication as you go on. So be sure to ask the pharmacist that you work with, ask your physician, ask your provider that you work with, and make sure that it's safe for you to start certain medications. Because as you can see, I went through numerous medications potentially, and obviously that's probably just the tip of the iceberg as far as drug interactions go there. Serotonergic drug interactions can certainly happen. You think of MAOIs and linezolid and things like that. So serotonin syndrome risk, obviously you have to worry about. Antiplatelet effects isn't something I worry crazy about, but has been reported in the literature some there. So, and I discuss those a little bit more with the SSRI podcast in general there. So definitely go back, check that out. Also get some nuggets on some of the other SSRIs. All right, well, that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. If you enjoyed this episode, found it helpful, leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Go check out the books, study materials, everything we've got at meded101.com/store. Purchases there directly help support this podcast and keep it free and educational for all to enjoy. If you want to reach out to me, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP, LinkedIn is probably a great way to do that. That's probably the social media channel I'm most active on. Also, you can email me at mededucation101@gmail.com as well. All right, I'm going to sign off for today. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a great rest of your day.